Welcome. How you guys doing today? Great to be with you. I want to say hello to all of our campuses. Thanks for being a part of our services. Those watching online and our prison ministry as well. Thank you for being with us. We are so excited to have Christine Kane in the house today. Her and her husband, Nick, are incredible people. We've been friends with them for, gosh, a decade and a half now. It's been a minute. It has been a minute. And I'll tell you what, they have an incredible ministry. They are literally on the cutting edge of stopping modern-day slavery. They have an anti-human trafficking organization called A21. I was so moved last service. We have an allocated amount that we support them with, and I just said double it. We just on the spot. We're so moved by what you do. And we're so proud of being a part of it. And she also leads multiple other ministries. She's a best-selling author. You can watch her on TBN anytime you want or on the web, of course. They literally travel the world. You just said 300 hotels you'll be in, 300 nights this year alone. That's how much they travel. Please give a warm South Texas welcome to our friend, Christine Kane.
Well, good morning, church. I am so fired up to be here. I'm going to throw this water at Pastor Jessica. Oh, I nearly. Thank you. Only because I'm scared, because I'm a Greek woman and my arms go everywhere all the time. And I thought you might all have a shower in the front row. I love it. You guys are like family to me, whether you realize it or not. I am your cray-cray Aussie Greek aunt. Okay? So everybody needs a crazy Aussie Greek aunt. And that would be me. And I'm here today with the single most ravishing piece of masculine. Not you, Pastor. Okay, I'm talking to my husband. The single most ravishing masculine piece of flesh right there is my husband of 29 and a half years, Nick. And I'm telling everyone, not that he likes the attention, but it's actually his 58th birthday today. And we're celebrating with Church Unlimited. So we are here, and next to him is our eldest daughter, Catherine. I told the first service because really, my husband is number 14 of 15 children. And so I know everyone freaks out, all the women cross their legs, and it's like, no, it's like his mother had 15 full-term pregnancies in 17 years, which is just inconceivable. And so we've only got two kids. My mother-in-law did not think you were a woman until you popped out like 10. And so I would take Catherine and Sophia and I would say, this is Catherine and she's my alpha and this is Sophia. And this is the omega, and this is the beginning and the end of my childbearing years. And so, you know, it's great. It's great actually to watch the kids grow up together. Nick and I so love Pastor Bill and Jessica, like in real life, like we choose to be together, which is fantastic. And this is the first time I've lived in America for 15 years that I have seen, I didn't know, Jessica kept telling me there was ocean down here, and now I have finally, I thought there was just cotton fields and corn, and there's actually water. And so it's so amazing. And as I've watched, I think I was here about a decade ago, to see what the Lord has done. I'm a church girl to the bone, and so I love the house of God. And just to see you guys have multiplied like rabbits, like seriously, I'm talking, you know, it's like God is omnipresent. So is Church Unlimited, like literally. And it's just great to be here and to be speaking to all of our campuses. And I love that we've got a prison campus too. It just makes me so excited. I think you ought to thank God that you're in a church that's reaching people all over the place. And we've just come back from a big trip. I've been filming Paul's three missionary journeys. And the book of Acts actually talks about four journeys of Paul. And he, you know, I just think there's going to be such a fresh wave of revival on the earth. And I've just immersed myself back in Acts chapters 13, verse 28, just to see what it was like as the church exploded around the earth. And I mean, you're in Corpus Christi, so you are really when the Lord said, and you will go into the uttermost parts of the earth, that's where we are right here in Corpus. And I just feel there's such a fresh wave. Have you noticed the world has lost its ever-loving mind? And so here's the great thing is that where sin abounds, grace abounds more, and where there is darkness, the light of Christ shines in such a powerful way and can penetrate that darkness. darkness. And so we were born for this moment, church. Like, I'm like, I'm only 50. On Tuesday, I'm 59. So we're the same age today and tomorrow. Then he married an older woman. But, you know, so... I feel I've been in full-time vocational ministry for 37 years and I have never been more excited. I'm like, thank you, Jesus, for keeping me alive, because I think we are going to see the greatest harvest of souls into the kingdom of God over this next season than we have seen. And so I'm excited. We're going to go to the Gospel of Luke this morning. And based on, you know, just kind of some of the accents in the first service, I feel like we're going to have a lesson in the Queen's, well, the King's English. I speak English like King Charles wishes he could speak English. And so this is, we refined the English language when they sent us to Australia. This is what we did. You Americans, you basically, you threw the tea overboard and went, peace out, England, see you later. And so, and this is what you've done to the language. This is what we've done to the language. And this is it. So we're going to learn a little bit of King Charles's English in a moment. So turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 7. You know, if I was stuck on an island, it's so bad that I feel so friendly with you all, because it's just like family. Like, this is so beautiful. And we're just, if I was stuck on an island, they said you can only have one book of the Bible that you could take with you. Well, I would sort of cheat, because Luke wrote Luke Acts. And so I would say, I'm taking Luke Acts, but this is kind of where what I would be stuck on a desert island with. It's just, I love the Gospel of Luke so much. But in Luke chapter 7, verse 1, this is the word of the Lord. It says, when he had concluded saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. A centurion's servant who was highly valued by him was sick and about to die. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, requesting him to come and save the life of his servant. When they reached Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, he is worthy for you to grant this because he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to tell him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, since I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. That is why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under my command. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Jesus heard this and was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I've not found so great a faith even in Israel. When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant in good health. I mean, what a story here. You know, this is such a pivotal chapter. Jesus had just finished preaching the Sermon on the Mount, probably his most famous sermon. Comes back into Capernaum, his ministry headquarters. He's greeted by three Jewish elders, and there was a Roman centurion. Now, Roman centurions is kind of like a captain of an army, about 100 men under his purview, under his control. And back then, centurions, Roman centurions were placed throughout Israel, basically in villages and cities, to do two things, to keep the peace and to collect taxes. So just like today, you could imagine they were not the most loved people on the earth. It's like you know, unless you love everyone that takes your taxes, well, they wouldn't have at that time. And so, you know, they were just like really despised. But here, this Roman centurion had a servant. The word in Greek here in the original language is a slave. Now, slavery was woven into the fabric of Roman society back in these times. Now, today, Nick and I run an organization that helps to rescue the victims of human trafficking. Pastor talked about it. You guys have been partnering with us to see that happen. And, you know, what started 18 years ago in Thessaloniki, Greece, when the consultants told us it would be impossible. There were no anti-trafficking organizations in that region of the world at that time because of the corruption and the darkness, and there was no laws even making it a crime. And, you know, when I flew over from Australia to meet Nick, had been for 45 days with the consultants doing a feasibility study throughout Eastern Europe. And there was a 100-page document, and 10 times in that 100-page document was either directly the phrase or a variation of the phrase, it will be impossible. And the consultants 18 years ago told us, we highly recommend that you abort your plans for starting in Eastern Europe and go to a different region of the world, because it will not work. You will literally, in the feasibility study, after 45 days, it says you will fail because of the political conditions, the economic conditions, the legal restrictions, all of the things. And, you know, imagine if we had to listen to them back then. That was 18 years ago. I remember when I was at Frankfurt Airport about to fly to Thessaloniki. In the last leg, I'd already been in the air flying from Australia over 30 hours to get to Bangkok and then to get to Frankfurt. And then I had the last 3 hours of the trip. And Nick called me and I was in the lounge at Frankfurt. And I always know it's going to be very serious when Nick prefaces the call with, "Christine, before I tell you what I want to tell you, I need you to remember that you are a Christian." And you're not only a Christian, you're a teaching pastor at a church. And so I always know it's not going to be good. And you know, Nick said to me, "Christine, I'm holding the feasibility study. You're going to do a 3-hour flight to come over here. And this feasibility study, it says that we shouldn't start, that we should change all of our plans, that it's not possible, that it will not work. It will be impossible to start here." And I remember I'm in that lounge, and if you know anything about German people, they're very restrained. I'm Greek and I'm not restrained. And so extremely inappropriately loudly, I stand up in the lounge and into the phone, I yell, I go, "Nick, you tell those consultants that the Lord told us to start in Thessaloniki. And if God said it, God will do it, because what is impossible with man is possible with God. With God, all things are possible." And why am I telling you that? Because 18 years later, by the grace of God, 10 offices around the world multiply, and I'm talking in excess of 5,000. When we quote our people, what I'm saying to you is these are men, women, and children that have gone, that we have represented legally and have gone through the system. So thousands, multiplied thousands, men, women, and children rescued, hundreds of traffickers convicted and in jail, and hundreds of millions of people worldwide being made aware of the issue of human trafficking. Why? Because we said yes to God, and when the world said it will be impossible, we showed them that what is impossible with man is possible with God. With God, all things are possible and nothing is impossible. But although slavery is largely illegal, part of our job is to help governments enforce that around the world. In these times, it was not illegal. So if you had a slave, you'd just be like, okay, who cares? They could die and we'll just replace them. They're like disposable. So we know there's something really unusual about this Roman centurion, because he was a very compassionate man. His servant was about to die, and he's like, I don't want him to die. I want him to be healed. And he was also a very generous man, because the Jewish elders said he built us a synagogue. Now listen, how often does someone from one religion build a house of worship from someone from another religion? So a Roman centurion built a synagogue. I'll tell you what I love, and the principle I love to take out of this is God will use whoever he wants to get to you whatever he wants. I mean, you don't limit how God can get to you, his provision, and who God will use to get what he wants. And he was obviously a very humble man, because he said to Jesus, you don't need to come. You just need to say the word. And the Bible says Jesus marveled when he said this. And that word marveled in the CSB here, it says Jesus was amazed. That word in the Greek is the word thavmazo. It says Jesus thavmazoed at the faith of this man. Now remember, this is a Roman Gentile. This is the person that was not supposed to have faith. He marveled. He thavmazoed. He was astounded. That word thavmazo is to be astonished, to be astounded, to be amazed. Now what is interesting to me is that Jesus would be amazed at anything, because he's God and he knows everything. But according to this text, there's a level of faith that is available that causes the God of the universe to be amazed, to marvel, to be astounded. And that word is used 43 times in Scripture. But there's only 2 times that the word thavmazo in the original language is used in relation to Jesus. There's only twice in Scripture that's recorded that Jesus was amazed, that Jesus thavmazoed. So he was amazed at the faith of the person that was not supposed to have any faith. And now we're going to go to the Gospel of Mark, where we're going to read the one other time Jesus thavmazoed in Scripture. So if you go with me to Mark chapter 6, everyone say Mark. There it is. Mark. 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 Everyone say Mark. I'm going to give you an Aussie church back, mate. Mark. Okay, I have to do it with you too. Okay, so everyone say like an Aussie, awesome. You sound so dignified. I'm hoping on every campus that you have done this. One more time. Awesome. Okay, now say it like an American. I'm just going to let you pause and think about that. Mark chapter 6. Scripture says he left there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. Remember, Jesus is in his hometown teaching in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished. They always were. Where did this man get these things? They said. What is this wisdom that has been given to him? And how are these miracles performed by his hands? Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and he's the brother of James and Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And aren't his sisters here with us? So they were offended by him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his household. He was not able to do a miracle there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. So, church, I want you to see what happens when Jesus is not able to do a miracle. This is what he's doing when he's really not doing anything. He's just laying his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Now, if that was to happen right now on this service, in this service at church, we would be having that all over TikTok, all over Instagram. We would call that a really good Sunday in church. But that's what's happening when Jesus is except. That's what Jesus does, except. Except. He laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he was amazed. There's that word, thavmazo. He was amazed at their unbelief. Wow. Both times Jesus was amazed at Scripture, both had to do with faith. He was amazed at the faith of the Roman centurion that shouldn't have had any faith. And he was amazed at the unbelief of the people that should have believed him the most. The people that were in his hometown, the people that grew up with him. You see, what happened is, and what we have to realize, church, and I tend to think this is what may have happened here in America, is often our familiarity with Jesus breeds a laziness in our faith. It's when we are used to having a church on every corner, when we can just tune into Christian TV whenever we want, when we can download whatever worship song, when we are not at all limited to our access to Jesus, we can get most lazy when it comes to faith. I travel all over the world and in countries where you do not have access, you could not just download a Christian song. You couldn't just flick on Christian TV. You couldn't just listen to a podcast or a sermon. Those people are deeply interceding and praying and tapping into God at a whole nother level. But often our familiarity with Jesus is just like, you know, oh, will I go to church this week? Yeah, okay, maybe if the weather's not good and the boat's broken. I might go. Until you never even have that option and you wish you could have gone. It is so amazing how we get so familiar, and that's what happened to these people. They were so familiar with Jesus that the Bible says he could do no miracles with. He was amazed. Now, here's the issue. There are tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of church services happening right now. Right now. And Jesus will leave at the end of all of them. And he will be amazed. He will thavmazo at the end of every church service. The issue is, church, is he going to thavmazo at our faith or our unbelief? Because he will be amazed at one of them. I wonder, will Jesus walk out of here and go, man, I could have done so much more in the 10 o'clock. If the people walked in believing me. If the people came in with a sense of anticipation, I could have saved so many more people. I could have healed so many more people. I could have delivered so many more people. Jesus will be amazed at the end of this day. The issue is he going to be amazed at our faith or our unbelief? Now, the kind of faith I'm talking about, sometimes we get really weird, even in church life, and think, well, we're talking about faith. Let me just remind you what this whole deal is about. We are a people who walk by what? Faith and not by sight. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the life we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God. That's what we do. Without faith, guess what? It's impossible to please God. Faith is not an insult. Faith is what we are. We are a people of faith. And here's the issue. And the kind of faith I'm talking about is not like some cool cultural Christianity that makes us just so acceptable to the world around us. You know, Nick and I were invited. I spoke at a conference in Southeast Asia, and at this particular conference, someone had brought 500 leaders of the underground church in China. There's four major streams of the underground church in China. Now, the greatest revival in our lifetime is actually in the Chinese church, where Christianity is illegal. And so the fact is that so many people got saved through signs and wonders and miracles, but the children of some of these parents kind of thought, well, that's a very simplistic faith. I mean, just trusting God and the Bible and the Holy Spirit, that's a bit simplistic. I mean, we are just enlightened now. And we just live in a scientific, rational age, and we have AI and we have technology, and we're just so cool for school. This sort of that faith stuff is a bit, that's just for simple people. That's just for uneducated people. That's not really for us. And they invited me because they said, Chris, we've got a whole younger generation that kind of mocks our faith with urbanization, with globalization and access to so many things that they just, you know, are walking away and hemorrhaging from the church, thinking faith is simplistic and you know, science and technology and all of that is going to be the future. That's where it's all at. And they said, Chris, we never really learned any leadership principles or how to reach a generation. So the only thing we ever learned was how to witness to our prison guard on the way to our execution. Now, church, when I heard this, I thought I didn't hear it right. And I asked my translator, and they said, you know, the same thing, that we don't know any, like, church growth principles. We just know how to witness to people on the way to them killing us. And I just started bawling. And I got on my knees. And I said, I don't know why you think I'm here, quite honestly, in this moment. I can't think of one thing that I could teach you. But whatever that faith is that you have, that faith that would cause you to witness to your prison guard on the way to your execution, I need you to lay hands on me right now. And I want that faith to be imparted into me. And that's what I want to take back to America. I want that kind of faith and I want that kind of fire that says, you know what, no matter what is happening around me culturally, that I've got a faith that's going to stand firm. Because the kind of faith that I'm talking, there was once a time that there was a lot of cultural currency associated with saying you're a Christian. Not so much in the Western world. Not so much anymore. People think like we're weird. They're like, Christine, I thought you were educated. I thought you like had like, you know, letters after your name. And like, you really believe that this book has any relevance today? You believe this is the authoritative, inerrant word of God? I'm like, yes. But Christine, you believe like in a virgin birth? I'm like, yes. It's impossible. I know. I didn't fail biology. In fact, I said to my daughter before she went to college, I went, sweetheart, I believe in the Immaculate Conception. I believe in a virgin birth, but you need to know. I only believe there was ever one in the history of all of mankind. So don't come home from college and try this on your mother. Like, it's no. It's not going to work. Christine, you believe? Like, you've been married to one guy for 29 and a half years and you really believe that you're just, he's the only one you're ever going to have sex with? I mean, that is just like so 1980s. You really believe in a Christian sexual ethic? Like, yeah, yeah. That's weird. I know. I know. Marry one guy and sleep with him forever. Yeah. Weird. Like, you really, what about all these problematic texts, Christina? There's just like so much violence and it's just like, I just don't listen. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's not true. It doesn't mean it's not true. I mean, Christine, you believe some like dead Jewish man rose again? Christine, like that's impossible. I mean, Christine, you are willing to stake your entire eternity on that weird belief. Yeah. You mean you believing that impossibility is going to impact how you live on this earth every day? Yes. But Christine, that's weird. I know. Christine, like, that's impossible. I know. But I don't need a God that could do what I could do. I need a God that could do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything I could ever ask, hope, or think. It's called faith. It's weird to the world around us that we're willing. This is why why would we ever settle for something predictable, manageable, boring? Why? You and I are staking our entire eternity on the fact that a dead man rose again. So we're already weird. Whether you come from a Presbyterian background or a Baptist background or a Brethren background or a Pentecostal background, the linchpin of the Christian faith is that we believe a dead Jewish man rose again. So listen, since we're weird, why not embrace all the weird? God still heals today. God still saves today. God still delivers today. God still moves today. Why would we not embrace it all? All this trying to fit in, I'm like, we're weird. Own it. It's actually biblical. It says you're a peculiar people. We are sojourners. We're aliens. We're resident aliens here. So we're weird. Why not act with the kind of faith that believes a dead man rose again? And if you and I are going to see revival in our generation and not just have church as normal, then it means that we live in a way that is antithetical to the system of this world. And people will think we're weird. We have a different sexual ethic. We have a different moral code. We have a different belief system. And I'm not trying to fit into this world. I am in it, but not of it. We unashamedly and unapologetically are followers of the resurrected King Jesus. That's what we are. Now listen, nothing in the Bible would have happened if people weren't weird in their generation. So in 2025, where we have artificial intelligence and, you know, we can go to Mars and we can go, I mean, we're all so into orbit, we've orbited our way out of like whatever, I don't know, like we're weirdos. But we've got technology and we've got science and we're all so educated. Okay, what would it look like to be weird in our generation? What would it look like? Because can you imagine how weird it was when Noah was building an ark and all his friends were saying, hey, Noah, what are you building? It's like an ark. They're like, what's an ark? I don't know. Why are you building an ark, Noah? Because rain is coming. What's rain? I haven't got a clue. Sometimes what we're building and even what we're building in Church Unlimited is like, I don't quite know because something's coming. There's rain coming. And I've got to build a container to facilitate what it is that God's doing. Why do we keep adding campuses? Why do we keep I don't know, but rain is coming. Rain is coming. I don't know what it is. And we're prepping a boat for the rain that's coming. It's happening. Can you imagine how weird was Moses? He's standing there. There's a Red Sea in front of him. And there's the whole Egyptian army behind him. And all the Israelites are like, Moses, what are we going to do? And he's like, I don't know. I've got a stick. Any faith leader worth their salt, if you could get behind our mask, that's pretty much where we are. I don't know. I've got a stick. I got a stick. Sarah, she's at Target in the maternity ward buying clothes. She's 90. And all her friends are saying, Sarah, what are you doing? She's like, I'm having a baby. They're like, honey, your eggs have dried up. They haven't even invented Viagra yet for Abe. Anyway, I just say, I know you're the backslidden parent. That's okay. Could you imagine? I mean, I could go through the list. David, he's got a slingshot and five stones. There's a 9-foot giant. Most of us, every day of our life, there's some 9-foot giant. And when the world looks at us, it's like, yeah, I've got this slingshot and stone. It looks ridiculous. But we're too busy trying to look cool that we're not willing to look foolish. And you're not going to operate in faith when you're so busy trying to look amazing on your Instagram feed that you're no longer being amazing in your prayer life with Jesus. And that's what's happened to a generation. We're so busy curating our public profiles, we're no longer cultivating personal intimacy and faith with Jesus. And I could go through the list, church. I could go on and on. How foolish did Mary look when she went to Joseph and she said, I promise it was an angel. How foolish did Peter look as he was stepping out of a boat, walking on water? He would have looked so foolish to the other guys. How foolish would the little boy look with 5 loaves and 2 fish and there's 20,000 people on the side of a mountain? How foolish did Paul and Silas look singing hymns in a prison cell? I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But I'll tell you who looked the most foolish and who was willing to look foolish. Jesus, as he was on a cross, half naked, hanging off a tree, and people say, that's your king? That's your Messiah? You're going to stake your eternity on him? They're saying the same to us in 2025. That's it? Surely you're smarter than that. Surely you're more educated than that. Surely you're more evolved than that. That's what you're staking your eternity on? If Jesus was willing to look foolish, why would we think we would be exempt from it in 2025? Why would we think that? But can I just tell you, as a result of Jesus and a result of all of it, I mean, I could go through so many more people from the Bible that were willing to look foolish in their generation, and I'm looking for a generation of young and younger like us, people that are willing to look foolish in their generation. What is the result of that? Well, the issue is Noah and his family, they were saved from the flood because of that. Moses did see a Red Sea part. Sarah actually gave birth to Isaac. David defeated Goliath. Mary, she did give birth to Jesus, and that little boy's lunch, it did feed the people on the side of the mountain, and I could go on and on. Peter did walk on water. Paul and Silas did get out of that prison cell, and Jesus Christ got off that cross and defeated hell and defeated death, and he holds the keys to hell and death. And why am I sharing this message with you at Church Unlimited this morning? Because, church, I've come here to remind you what we're living in is a miracle here in all of our campuses. And I want to remind you that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you and me. Therefore, we have nothing to fear as we look into the future. And we need to remember we can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.
You guys give it up for Christine. Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Would you stand to your feet? You stand to your feet. I think we need to sing. Can you agree with me that we need to have that kind of faith? Let's take a moment. Let's just lift our hands to God and let's worship for just a moment. Can we do that? Yes, God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and we take a moment to pray. If that's you today, if you say, I need a move of God, I want to have that kind of faith, the kind of faith that witnesses to the person that's about to execute me. Wow. What kind of faith is that? God, help me to have the kind of faith of Mary, the kind of faith of Peter, the kind of faith of Noah, who builds a vessel that they have no idea what it's going to be used for. But God said yes. God said to do it. Will you have that kind of faith? Those of you who've never given your life to Christ, you can put your hands down. Those of you who've never given your life to Christ, you can receive him right now. I'm praying a very simple prayer, because a Jewish man did claim to be God. He did die, and he did raise again. You can accept him right now as your Lord and your Savior. Pray this prayer with us across all of our campus. You can say, Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin. And I believe you rose again. Please come in my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Your head bowed and your eyes closed. If you just gave your life to Christ, no one's looking around at all of our campuses. If you just gave your life to Christ, would you hold your hand high? If you just prayed that prayer, you just gave your life to Jesus, hold your hand high. Thank you. There are hands going up all across our churches. Thank you. We see your hands, Rodfield. Thank you, Stone Oak. Hold those hands high. Praise God. God's moving right now, Padre Island. Thank you, Portland. Thank you, Rockport Fulton. Hold those hands high. Praise God. Right here, broadcast in our prison ministry. Hold those hands high. Online, you can let us know in the text chat. Just text, my hands raised. God, thank you for the way you're moving right now at all of our campuses. God, thank you, Lord. What a powerful message, Lord. Give us that kind of faith, God. Give us a kind of faith that actually lives by faith, that actually steps out in faith, that actually becomes peculiar. May we be weird for you. May we be different for you. May we not run with this world, but run the opposite direction and honor you and serve you, put you first and live by faith. Thank you for this word today. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true. You may be seated. Can we just give it up one more time for Christine? What a great word. Thank you, Christine. Praise God. Pastor?
Thank you, Pastor.